Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Today, I am joined by my good friend Riza and her bandmates in the psychedelic indie pop band Strawberry Launch to discuss the band's new single, Emily, and how Riza's relationship with her sister inspired the song. Other topics of discussion include touring with Small Crush, how Miss Grit had a hand in helping the band get together, and why the things we consider our quote-unquote guilty pleasures are often the most liberating and euphoric pleasures. And without further ado, let's get right into this episode.
Dude, how you been?
I've been good. How you been?
Good. I watched one episode of the OC today. Just
amazing.
For you.
Amazing.
I'm going to keep watching, though, because now I'm really invested.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I have been, for context, you guys, I've been going down an OC rewatch spiral. So what I found to be fascinating is the use of music in that show.
I was reading about it, and that it's basically like a modern soap opera.
Yeah.
It's definitely the vibe that I got.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. Is it good?
I think so. I've only seen one episode.
Yeah. Basically, this is my plan. Okay, so Pat Finnerty like had this whole campaign where he got his friends and Dr. Dog to cover Here Comes the Hot Stepper. And so I just want to start a campaign to get Strawberry Launch to cover California by Phantom Planet.
California, here we come.
California. Yes.
Okay, those guys, I'm sorry, they can't sing. So I think we can do a way better job. I think
exactly.
We can
put back on the table.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly. And make it like synth poppy and disco-y.
Yeah, and it needs keys, it needs like raging guitar, it needs a groovier bass line. It needs all the things.
All the things, yes. So why don't we start out from the beginning, because I understand that you cold called Matriana and started the band. So do you two want to walk me through like your perspectives of the circumstances that led to the band?
Sure. I was friends with a lovely artist named Miss Grit, who is the coolest person ever. And I asked them if they wanted to start a band, but they had their own project. And so they were like, I'm going to put a list of people together that maybe you could reach out to at NYU. Because I didn't go to NYU. I went to a different school. And the first guitarist on that list was Matriana. And so I called her out of the blue and I said, hello, do you want to start a band with me? And for some reason, she said, sure. And I rolled up to the NYU dorms and we jammed, and then it went from there. Yeah.
Miss Grit was like, she was in mime and Abby's major. We were in the same major, and Taylor, I guess, but Taylor was younger than us. So, but it was my freshman year, and Miss Grit she was in our major, but she's like a couple years older. So she was like, does anyone like want or interested in joining like a group to play with? And I wanted to because I just moved to New York for school and I wanted to like keep playing music. Like I didn't want that to die down once I moved there. Yeah, so then all that happened that Riza just said. And then I brought Abby in to play bass. And then we brought Taylor in like a year later, which is when she moved to NYU. And then Benji also was added at the same time. I think.
Yeah. After Benji had kind of been an alternate drummer for us because we were kind of going through a lot of drummers at the time, and then every time something would fall through or somebody moved away, Benji would like jump on drums and always crushed. And then eventually we were like, this is dumb. Like, we should just put Benji in the band. And he agreed. So yay.
Yes. And tell me about the first band practice that you had together as the unit that you are now. So all of the current members. How does it make you feel to look back on that?
I'm like, I'm trying to remember the first one with Benji, but sorry, I mean, I don't remember the exact first one, but I can tell you that it was definitely at Rivington. And it Wait. Just...
No, wasn't it at, like, Funkadelic Studios or something? Because
oh, yes! Oh, it was at Funkadelic. Oh, that was wow. The OG. But we would also kind of meet at, like Matriana and Abby's apartment.
Yeah.
But I don't know where the first one happened, but it immediately just felt really natural because Matriana and I went to School of Rock together in high school. So I'd already been playing with her for several years. And then I had met Abby because... Matriana and Abby had been friends for a year at that point, so it just felt like really natural already. Like, it didn't feel super awkward or anything like that.
Totally.
That's amazing. And do you feel like there was like any particular moment that you all really locked in and realized, oh shit, we got something special here? Or was it just like a very gradual and at various moments, like all culminating into one, like...
I feel like it was gradual, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't, that's all.
It was just bass, guitar, drums, and Riza. And then so once we added Taylor and like synth came into the mix, we were like, whoa, this is nuts. And once Benji came in, that was definitely like when we locked in, as you said. It just felt really solid. Very full, tight, all those things.
I feel like we used to really like, we were asked in another interview about like how our genres like changed over time, or like what we used to make versus what we make now. And like before we had Taylor, like I was really writing in like a classic rock kind of style. And then when we added Taylor into the mix, like we started to get really inspired by psychedelic rock, and like just adding synth and like her synth skills changed the way that we write and the genres we were interested in.
Yeah.
So that was a game changer for sure.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of psychedelic leaning bands have the name Strawberry in them. Or even like just like synthy psychedelic, like you have Strawberry Alarm Clock, you have Strawberry Switchblade, you have Strawberry Launch, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
The strawberry being like the great equalizer.
We should do a strawberry fest, but it's just like all bands with fruit names.
Oh, I like that.
I love that.
So fire. Okay, noting that for later, next summer.
Yes. Fruit Fest.
Fruit Fest. You heard it here first.
So I'm also like, I read a lot. And so as a symptom of that, like I read a lot of criticism. And so like when I was reading a lot of reviews of like your stuff, the one descriptor that I saw multiple times, the word that people use to describe your sound in a lot of these reviews is astral. So basically a lot of people agree that it's very psychedelic and basically like doesn't even exist on the physical plane. So like, what do you think draws you to that like realm of sound?
I feel like it's just like all like our inspirations, like other artists that we listen to, like they're very indie pop vibes, so I feel like their sound has like lots of like synths and like weird sounds that they use, and like I think that's just like I feel like where personally like I draw inspiration from. And I think it wasn't like intentional, I guess, to be like astral sounding, but I guess it just like came to be like once we all combined our sounds together. But that's how I feel. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, and I feel like on an individual level, we just have so many different music tastes. Like, of course, we're listening to similar indie pop rock bands to us, but we also like a lot of us also listen to like new wave and like progressive rock and like folk music. So I think having those genres that you wouldn't normally mix with indie pop is what gives it that extra like sparkle. And it's not necessarily intentional. I just think it's the way our brains work now after listening to so many different influences and also having these songs being like equally written by the five of us. I think we keep it unique, which is really awesome.
Yeah, and you've shared the stage with like a lot of really cool folks like Beach Bunny, Small Crush, and others. When was the first time you shared or scored a slot or a bill with another band where you were like truly like starstruck?
I feel like the Hot Flash Heatwave
Yeah.
show. Yeah. That's it
We
was like when we opened, it was like also Small Crush and then Hot Flash Heatwave. Like they were direct support. So
Yeah, that was a really important just event and night, I think, for us as a group because we had been playing a lot of the same venues in the area for a while. And I think like we had been either direct support or headlining a lot of smaller shows. And that was really the first time that we were like opening for like a larger artist that does this full time. Like this is their life's work, which is something we also want to be doing. And so the opportunity just, was really like, at least to me, felt very much like, okay, like these people do this all the time. This is their whole life. Like, is that something I'd want to do? And that's really the first time that I feel like I got a taste of it. And yeah, it was just a great experience. And then, like, because we did that show, like, we were able to stay in Small Crush's orbit. And now we're opening for them on their tour, which is so cool. Yeah. So that was just great memories all around.
yeah, and what venue was that at, by the way?
That was at Brooklyn Made. And it was like really, really new couple, like when it, I don't think it was very old when we first played there because it's only a couple years old now. So,
Yeah, and it was definitely, I think it was the biggest venue we'd played thus far at that point.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was like a real game changer, like getting to like witness that firsthand and seeing like how someone who does do this full time operates on their day-to-day lives. So I want to get into some like fun stuff as well, because I believe there are some people who believe that like guilty pleasure shouldn't be a thing, but I do believe that like at the end of the day, everything has a shelf life, and a lot of the quote unquote guilty pleasures that I have, like I feel guilty about them for a reason. Like, for example, if a former Warped Tour kid is like in their mid-20s to early 30s and they're still listening to fucking Escape the Fate or something like that, I would have some questions.
That's me.
Matriana and I went to Warped Tour at the ripe age of 13.
I went so much.
Yeah. So like what are your big some of like all y'all's biggest individually like guilty pleasures?
I think I can speak for Taylor as well. And I hear when I say that I feel like I don't think this is guilty, like not guilty. Don't feel guilty about this at all. But we listen to a lot of like male manipulator music. Like we listen to Steely Dan like a lot. Patriana too. And Talking Heads and there are others.
Frank
Frank
Zappa.
Zappa,
I've
yeah.
been back in my Rush phase recently.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That would be mine. I also listen, again, I was like not guilty at all about this, but I listen to like mostly reggaeton now.
Nice.
just
actually
feels
a
like
flex.
it feels just kind of random given that I don't speak Spanish at all, but it's awesome.
Mine is, which they all know, I like really love dad rock, like divorce dad rock. I love Daughtry. I've been trying to get these guys to cover a Daughtry song. I live in an oversized Daughtry t-shirt I thrifted. Like something about Daughtry just sends me into a different universe. And I also like, even though we make like indie, like psychedelic pop rock, I listen to an insane amount of hyper pop. Ashnikko is one of my top artists every single year. Like, I wish I could make music like that, but I'm not that cool. So, yeah, those are my guilty pleasures for sure.
Bench, you can go.
I would say like closer to the Warped Tour vibe of like Blink-182 or like MCR, but more Blink-182.
Yeah, I would say like, yeah, My Chemical Romance. I was literally just listening to them. And I used to be a really big fan of All Time Low. Like they were my favorite band. And I still listen to them sometimes, but I don't like that's like something like I don't like actually like to say though. So it is, I feel like it is a real guilty pleasure, not like, oh, it's like my guilty pleasure.
I also have just discovered Like a G6 and Tyler Breeze and that song Replay. Yeah, like it's like every all those like pop songs from like 2014, like when
No,
I
that
was in
was
high
earlier.
school.
That was like, Replay was like when we were like nine.
Yeah, so I guess more of like the 20, like Cobra Starship.
Yeah.
Like that stuff was
Gym Class
hard. Yeah,
Heroes.
Gym Class Heroes. Yeah, I started to like
So,
rediscover that
yes, all the Fueled by Ramen offshoots.
yes. Oh, yeah. 21 Pilots.
Yes.
That's the guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah, like those are great choices. Like, yeah, like MCR. Like, I went to their reunion show, night one at Barclays. No regrets. Best,
I wish I
best.
went to that.
Best night of my little life. Yeah, I got a pit ticket to I got a pit ticket the day of.
That's so
Wow.
fire.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like yeah, and I feel the same too. Like a Hot Mess by Cobra Starship is a bop for real.
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, I love some 303 songs. And do you know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, I was listening to 303 at 12.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you have the type of like helicopter parent that was like, nope, I don't like these words. You're not allowed to listen to this. 'Cause that, like, you want what you can't have. So that just made me listen to Don't Trust Me more and more and more. Like,
I had an iPod like shuffle that didn't have the screen on it. And my parents like don't understand how technology works. And so my sister and I were just like burning a lot of songs that like and they like wouldn't know how to look through our iPods because it doesn't have a screen. So I'd get away with it.
Oh, so it was like the first like chunky iPod with the wheel, right?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it was like the mini ones that were like this big, like really tiny.
The shuffles.
Yeah, the shuffle. Yeah, that's what
Oh
I want.
yeah, the little shuffles, like the clip-on shuffles.
Yeah.
Bring
Yeah.
those back.
Honestly, I miss those things.
Yeah, I never like had a Walkman, but I have like really vague memories of being 4 years old and listening to a Walkman that belonged to my mom at the airport.
Cute.
Yeah, those little devices, that's where it's at.
Yeah, bring it back.
So I want to hear about the upcoming new song, Emily, as well.
Yeah, we're
Tell
gonna play.
me how that shaped up.
Sure. I really wanted to write kind of so a narrative that had a little bit of like an origin story. And I was really my older sister is really on my mind a lot right now. She just had her first kid. She's like changing careers. Like she's just doing so much at once and I'm so proud of her. But she and I live on separate coasts, even though we're really, really close. And we just have a lot of, like, I basically have an entire relationship with her through phone calls and through FaceTimes when I can see her. And I don't know, this song just kind of flew out about her, and she has listened to it and she did give me permission to release it. But yeah, it's really just about like sisterhood or and friendship and like being far from your loved ones and like sometimes not feeling enough and having people who love you tell you that you are. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like that's a very like important outlet to have. And also like almost like it's almost like making it like it makes it go down easier because like it's a song and it sounds nice. And so it's a nice way to like slyly like communicate that. Be like, hey, I wrote a song. You want to hear it?
Yeah, like one of my favorite genres or types of music is like songs that sound really like happy and upbeat but actually have like a bit of a darker meaning behind it. Love those. And Emily is one of those.
Yeah
yes, it's the hey ya formula.
Yeah.
The ABBA formula. Yeah. And yeah, I feel like that's like one of like the oldest tricks, but it always works in songwriting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what else is like your favorite type of sort of vibe to jam in, like when you jam like again and again and again, or even just practice if jamming isn't your vibe? What are good ways to like keep the relationship spicy, as it were, and keep it fun?
I feel like in terms of writing, I think when it comes to practicing in general, it really depends on the time of year and what we've got going on. Like we've been preparing for South By and our tour in April, so we haven't really done any writing in a while. But then a few months ago, the goal was to be putting out music, so we were just spending our rehearsals writing. And like made that clear distinction. We're not the type of band to really magically just like break out into a jam. Like usually how it goes writing wise is Riza will write lyrics on her own time. And then somebody else like Matriana will come in with like a guitar riff or like a chord progression. And then we all just like build off each other from there. And I don't know, like, how we keep rehearsals fun.
I will say that, like, in the last, I think the first couple years we were together, we were really only rehearsing together when we needed to, like, if we had a show coming up or whatever. But now we're at a point where, like, we are in our studio at least two nights a week. Like, we rent this place out every month. And I think the really nice thing is like now that we are expecting those times, we try to fill them to the best of their abilities. So like once we're done with South By and we're done with tour, we might have a few like kind of dead weeks. And it's like, oh, that's a perfect opportunity for us to like come in and get together and songwrite, brainstorm for what we want to do for the next couple of months, you know, just sort out some admin things because it's just easier to get things done when we're all together. So that's been cool to just like, we know that we're going to be in this room together and we have the opportunity to utilize our time together. I've really enjoyed that. So that's been super helpful.
Yeah. And for South By, are you more excited about the official shows or the unofficial shows?
I'm excited for all of them.
We just are happy that we're playing. We've applied to South By. This is probably the third or fourth time we had applied. And We're just really like, I feel like we're at a point where we're ready for something like this. We're ready to kind of showcase our talent and meet people and make some new connections and meet some new friends. So South by is just coming up at like a perfect time, and we are so excited that people like want us on their bills because we weren't sure how many shows we would get, and now we have a pretty full week, so it should be really, really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm gonna have serious FOMO when it happens.
Oh, you gotta come next year.
Yes, I'll request off next year. Yeah, and fly over.
You should get like a, you should be able to sit on a panel or something with what you do.
Yeah. But that is exciting. And you also have a lot of exciting other things coming up, like the tour and a few, even a few festival dates. So what do you think, like after having like done the tour circuit already, what do you feel like you've found the ability to bring to it nowadays that you sort of refined the first time?
Well, we've actually only done one tour, so I think it's still something that's really new and exciting for us. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like in doing these tours, we've really thought about our set and what it looks like, what it sounds like, and thought of it not as a bunch of like we're just playing a bunch of songs anymore. Like we've thought about like the full performance aspect, like in between songs, like how can that be part of the performance, like how can we spice them up a little bit. And yeah, I think what'll be exciting about this tour is there will be a lot of people in the audience that don't know us because they will most likely be there for Small Crush. So I think it's just been fun thinking of like, okay, how can we, and with South By too, like how can we like hook people in?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And are you guys self-managed or do you have like a team at this point?
No, we are a self-managed band. We try to do a lot of things as a unit. Taylor is our social media TikTok guru. Mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of the day-to-day myself, and we just split up projects where we can. I think another great reason that South By is coming when it is that I think we're ready for that step and to add some people onto our team. So couldn't be a more perfect time to like meet a lot of new people in the industry we haven't had a chance to connect with yet.
Yeah, for sure. And that's honestly pretty impressive, like your track record and being self-managed. Like it really speaks to your abilities.
I feel kind of lucky because I did the music thing backwards and I started out on the corporate side and then went into the artist side. And we definitely have our mishaps and nothing goes perfectly. But we can like kind of understand our own contracts and we can understand a lot of how the booking industry works. And like, just with our like collective knowledge, you know, with music tech degrees in the room and film degrees in the room and, you know, corporate contracty things in the room, we're able to kind of each take care of all these assets of what it means to be an independent artist. So it's really been a group effort for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a village for sure. Even if that village is five bandmates, because like it's amazing like what you can accomplish as a unit and also just like with a strong will.
Yeah, totally.
And I also really am interested in like the marketing side of things when it comes to social media, because like for one, it's like part of my job, my day job, but also I think it was really impressive how you guys came up with like basically a whole marketing initiative where you started a smear campaign against yourself on TikTok, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So how did that even like come about? Like how did that even like become the seed of an idea to make that?
So Yeah, so I guess like around a year ago, I was like, I want to start taking TikTok more seriously because I've seen how much it's done for so many artists. And I was just kind of like throwing noodles at the wall or spaghetti at the wall or whatever that phrase is. And there was this one artist, I think her name is Amina Sonad, and I saw that she was kind of creating this smear campaign against herself, and it was really working, and people were listening to her music. I was listening to her music. So I definitely got the idea from her to try out the like smear campaign, because then it kind of like hooked people in and like had them watching the video multiple times and like commenting like, no, like this is a great song. And I kind of stopped doing it because it did bring a lot of negativity, but originally like it brought us like so many more streams and so many more fans, which I'm so grateful for. But it's so interesting because TikTok and social media is constantly evolving. Like what worked on TikTok that back then doesn't work now. The trends are constantly changing, and like if I tried to revive the smear campaign, like I don't think it would work just because that's not what's like catching right now. So it's always about like just finding what's currently hooking people and like what the algorithm is currently at.
Yeah, for sure. And that was like a big thing that I have noticed as well is 'cause these apps are updating all the time, and every time they update, the algorithm shifts. And like you'll see people on TikTok like getting like 1.8 million views on average like in 2022, and then now it's like 4,000. And it's pretty astounding. But what do you think you have learned, and how do you feel like you manage having like a good like sort of work-life balance in that realm? Because being an artist like already wasn't easy, and then like when social media came into the forefront of everything, then it's like, oh, on top of all the rest, now you also have to self-promote and be your own marketing manager. So, what do you feel like are the best methods to just like keep a level head and not get too caught up in the numbers?
Sorry, I feel like I'm talking so much, but
No,
also
it's
like
your wheelhouse,
but also
dude.
we're in my wheelhouse. It's honestly tough, and like I haven't had it figured out. Like right now, I've definitely been burnt out recently from TikTok. So I think I'm constantly like changing my strategy when it comes to balancing things. I mean, I was doing social media for my day job as well, and I had to tell them that I couldn't do it anymore because it was just too much balancing like working, being in a band, and then also running social media for my work and for my band. Like it was just getting too much. So I had to be honest with them about that. And I think just creating like boundaries with your phone is super important, like lowering screen time, because it can be really rough. Because after I've doom scrolled on TikTok for 2 hours, like the last thing I want to do is make a TikTok. Like it's so weird and backwards like that. And also a really good strategy is like spending the day like carving out like an hour or 2 hours in your week to just film a bunch of TikToks and like get in the habit of creating those. So then you don't have to worry about making them throughout the week. Like they just sit in your drafts and you can post them throughout the week. That's a really good strategy. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And what have been your most like, oh no, this is a good question. What are all your auto-generated day lists right now? Pull them up. I want to hear, 'cause these names are always so creative.
Actually never used it, so I
Bro.
don't even know. You just gotta
I try all the I listen to my day list like every day.
Wait, how do I do that?
Just
It's beautiful, trendy Tuesday evening, and it's all Latin music.
No.
Mine is
Oh.
dopamine. Oh, sorry.
No, you can go.
Mine is dopamine indie rock Tuesday evening.
Mine's DIY crunchy Tuesday evening.
Not a crunchy Tuesday
I
evening.
hate the term crunchy
Mine
describing like something.
is rainy day poetry Tuesday evening. And the first song is an F.O. Kane song, which makes 100% sense for me.
I'm
Yes.
an Apple Music user, so there's
Oh,
that
cool.
one here.
Shame, shame, shame. No, just kidding. You're more ethical than all of us. Because you're not on Spotify. But yeah, I love those names because they're so creative. Like one of my friends posted on her story that like a strings, harp, like string instruments day list. And at the very end, it was just like fiddles, like viola. And at the very end, it said fingering.
No.
And she posted it on her story and just circled fingering.
Wow. That's crazy, John.
Yeah. But final question, what does the rest of the year have in store for Strawberry Launch?
You know,
lots of things.
Actually, the interesting thing is that we're kind of booked out until like June. We're going to do this tour. On top of playing South By, we're going to play New Festival in Dallas while we're down there. Then we're going to do the Small Crush Tour. And then we're playing North by Northeast in June in Canada, which we're super jazzed about. But we've actually just kind of left the rest of the year open because we are hoping that things go well at South By and things go well with our tour. And we can have the opportunity to keep going on tour with other people. So it's a little open-ended right now, but I feel like if you were to ask me that question or any of us that question in like a month, it might look a little different. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, well, booked out until like June is a pretty good schedule because it's still early.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the more you go on tour, like the more like references you'll get, like it's like, get those references, baby.
That's the plan.
And for like only like a few tours, like your second or third being with Small Crush, like that's pretty great. So I'm sure that you're like super stoked.
Yeah. I think the live, like our shows are where I think we really shine as a group. You know, we played so many live gigs before we put music out and we love to do it. And so I just feel like this is like, we're ready for this part. So I'm just excited to like bring some energy to the already great Small Crush atmosphere. I feel like our vibes really match. So I think it's going to be a cool couple of days for sure.
Yes. Well, thank you all so much for joining me for this chat today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and thank you again to Strawberry Launch for joining me today. Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy. We'll be right back.